Mark chapter 9 this morning. Mark chapter number 9. Would you find your places and if you would stand with me please this morning one last time if you can. And I know some of you it's maybe difficult to get up and down, and if that's the case then we'll let you remain seated. But for those of you that can, you say, "Preacher, why do you do that?" Well, because in the Old Testament when they read the Bible, when they read the law, then the people stood. In fact, they stood just about all day when they read the law. But we won't make you stand all day. Look in verse 17 of Mark chapter 9. "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." Now, the word dumb there, of course, is the word mute, or he could not speak. It wasn't that he was affected mentally, but he could not speak. And so he says here, "I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and whithersoever he taketh him." Talking about the spirit now. "Wheresoever this spirit taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." And he answered, and this is Jesus now, "He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when they saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long has it ago since this came upon him? And he said, Of a child," actually from infancy, as a baby, he's been this way. "And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything," do you see that? This man is saying to Jesus, "But if you can do anything," he said, "have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people were come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, and saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out from him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one that was dead, inasmuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him up by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Verse 29, this kind, this extreme case, this difficult circumstance, cannot come to pass, cannot come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray now, the Spirit of God, would you take the message now and seal it to our hearts as we endeavor to preach the precious Word of God today. Father, I pray that you'd bind every opposing force, every demonic power. Lord, they have no control, they have no right of way here this morning. In Jesus' name, they are to flee the presence here. I pray this morning, set the captive free. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray now to speak to our hearts today. And Lord, in Christ's name we pray this, and for his sake we ask it. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Notice here in Mark chapter number 9, Jesus said back in verse number 23, "To him that believeth, all things are possible." In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, the Lord Jesus says to us, "All power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth," Matthew 28, 18. Now, how many of you just by an amen would say that you would agree with that, that all power in heaven and in earth is given to Jesus? Would you just say amen, church? Amen. Then let me ask you the next question. If all power is given unto Jesus, both in heaven and in earth, then why is it that there are some folks that are not restored? Why is it that there are some folks that are still bound? Why is it that some folks that are still not delivered? Why are there sometimes situations arise that they're beyond our control and we say, I don't know where to turn to. I don't know where the help is coming from. But if Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth, then why can't things happen the way that we think they ought to happen sometime? And my friend, the truth of the matter is, as we get into it, it is not Jesus' fault. But indeed, here the Bible says in verse 23, as Jesus looked at this dad that brought this child unto him, he said, if thou wilt believe, all things are possible. So I would say to you in the very beginning is that it is not the fault of Jesus that things don't happen. But the problem many times is that our faith is lacking. It's not the faith of the preacher. It's not the faith of the church. But it is our faith that makes a difference. Would you say amen? Oh, that second amen was a lot lighter than that first one. So let's notice something here in Mark chapter number 9. Not in life, not every difficulty is the same. In life, not every spiritual attack is the same. How many of you this morning by a raised hand would say, preacher, there are times that I know the devil is fighting. I know that the enemy is fighting. But there are some times it just seems like he's pulled out every force of hell, every demonic power, everything just seemed like it's unleashed on me. There are times that it just seemed like there is a real intense spiritual attack. Would you say that? Amen. So not every spiritual attack is the same. Not every problem you face is the same. Not every situation you face is the same. Mark chapter 9 says here in verse number 29, it's Jesus said, this kind. And so there are different kinds, different difficulties, different situations that's going to come in your life that you are going to have the faith in order to overcome those things. Now, there are six things I want to give you real quickly here this morning. These won't take real long, I promise you. Number one, notice first of all, and they all start with the letter D. If you want to write them down, these are something that the Lord gave me, and I hope that they'll be a blessing to you. Number one, I see first of all in this passage, down from the mountain. I see that Jesus and his disciples, Peter, James, and John, have now gone up to Mount Transfiguration. In Mark chapter number 9, at the beginning of that chapter, you find that Jesus and Peter, James, and John have gone up to the top of the mountain. And on top of the mountain, Jesus is transfigured, as the Bible says. And the word transfigured is the word metamorphosis. He is now changed. They see him on top of the mountain. His face is glowing. His raiment is white. And while on top of the mountain, Peter, James, and John sees Moses and Elijah. A great mountaintop experience. In fact, they spent the entire day on top of the mountain, and they spent the entire night on top of the mountain. While down in the valley, there is a crowd that is gathered. We pick up reading there, if you'll notice, please, in Mark chapter number 9. And beginning in verse around 14, now the morning has come and Jesus is coming down off of the mountain with his Peter, James, and John with those three disciples. The nine are down at the base of the mountain. And down at the base of the mountain, there is this man that has come that has this boy that he has a problem with. Actually, it's a twofold problem. But this boy has a dire need. It's not just a cut on the finger. It's not just a broken leg. But this boy has major problems. And so while Jesus is up on top of the mountain, this dad has heard of the miracles of Jesus. And so he has now sought him out. Jesus has been in Bethesda, and many have seen the healing of the blind man in Bethesda. And so now a crowd has followed him to the base of the mountain. The nine disciples are gathered there, and here comes this man with this demon-possessed son. Notice something in verse number 14. As this dead comes, he encounters these nine disciples, and he asks them, would you please help us? My son here is possessed with a demon spirit. He goes on to describe that. We'll do that in just a minute. But here is a desperate dad. He is brought,
his child, his only son, unto the disciples. He was hoping to see Jesus, but Jesus is on top of the mountain. But he brought him unto the other disciples. Now, my friend, here you find in verse number 14, when the other disciples could not cast this demon out, notice what happens. In verse 14, a great multitude gathered about them, and the scribes questioning with them. I believe this is probably what happened. These nine disciples, as they were trying to cast this demon out, and they were unsuccessful. This great group of scribes that had gathered around him, and they had seen the miracles that had been done in Bethesda. They'd seen the healing of the blind man. And now they began to taunt those nine disciples. They began to question these nine disciples. I don't know exactly what they said, but I could probably imagine something like this. Where's your power at? Well, I just seen what happened down the road, but hey, what have you lost your power? What's wrong? I thought you guys were with Jesus. I thought you had power. And they began to taunt them. And in fact, the way the Bible reads here, they almost got into this argument with them, questioning them. You know what, my friend? Is that I would say here that if they were really concerned about this young boy, these scribes, if they were really concerned about his condition, instead of causing a commotion and instead of causing a problem, the best thing they could have done is prayed for that young man. Would you not agree? Amen. But you know, some folks, that's all they want to do is cause a commotion. And here the Bible says that here Jesus is coming down from the mountain, and as he comes down from the mountain, notice the second thing I find here in verse number 22. There's a desperate dad. Look in verse 22. The Bible says here that, and oftentimes it cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus, would you please help us? Here's a desperate dad. I can imagine this dad had heard about the miracles Jesus was performing. He had probably seen the blind man healed. He'd heard about other miracles that Jesus were doing. And he came expecting to find help. And when he came expecting to find help, all he found was Jesus' disciples and not Jesus. I find that in our life today, there are many desperate people. There are folks that you know. There are people in your family. There are situations that you know of right now that need help. There are folks today that are in desperate situations. There are people that need a physical touch from God. There are folks today that need a spiritual touch from God. There are lost family members. There are people today without jobs. There are people today that are hurting. They're grieving over a passing of a loved one. And there are some desperate situations today, and they need our help. Would you not say amen to that? They need someone like you and like me that can put their arm around them and pray with them and encourage them and strengthen them. They need somebody today that they can lean upon in those difficult circumstances of life. And here is a dad that was desperate. I believe he said, I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. Here is my child. I've seen him from a baby. Ever since he has been an infant, he has suffered. He's been tormented. I'll do anything that I possibly can to see my child made whole. There's not a parent living today that would not echo that. Amen? There is not a parent living today. Oftentimes, with our children growing up, I'd say, you know, Lord, I think I could bear this sickness better than what my kids could bear. And so, Lord, if it could be, I would take that upon. There's not a person in here today that's got a child or a grandchild that is suffering, that is hurting, that has a physical ailment. And you'd say, boy, if I could, I'd just take it upon myself. But you can't do that. But there are a lot of desperate people here today. Notice something with me, please. The Bible says here that he had faith in Jesus, but now his faith was starting to waver. He had faith enough to bring his son to Jesus. But now his faith was beginning to shake. And especially now that he had brought his son unto the disciples, and the disciples could not do a thing. I'm sure in this mind of this dad, he's thinking, this is hopeless, it is helpless, I've done all that I can do, and now even the disciples can't do a thing. You ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like in life it has just dished you out one of the worst circumstances, and you feel like there is no hope, there is nothing else outside of what you can do? You look out yonder and you say, hey, if this is what life is all about, it's not worth living. I saw on the news last night where many of our military are now coming back home, and because of, I don't know, post-traumatic stress syndrome or whatever else, many of them are committing suicide. They come to that end of that rope and they say, life is not worth living. My friend, let me encourage you. Life is worth living because of Jesus. As Blaine sang a while ago, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Without him, I cannot face tomorrow. Without him, life is nothing but a big circle with the outside rubbed off of it. But with Jesus, all things are possible. With Jesus, he gives life. He gives a reason to live. Notice something. He had faith in Jesus, but his faith was just about failing him. He was a desperate man because he'd seen his son being tormented since he was just an infant. Notice three. Notice the description of the son. The Bible goes in a lot of detail about this. Look in verse 18. Let me paint a picture for you if I could. Look in verse 18. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him. He foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples they could, and that should cast him out, and they could not. Verse 18. This evil spirit throws this young man into the fire and into the water. It tortures him. Look in verse 22 for a minute. For the Bible says here, and oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Do you see that, my friend? This evil spirit that is inside of this young boy, he takes him and he throws him into the fire. He throws him into the waters. And in verse 22, it's not just talking about a pool of water. It's talking about like a deep river. It's talking about like a deep lake. The goal of this evil spirit is to destroy. Jesus said in John 10:10, for the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Look at how this young boy is described here. He goes into convulsions. He falls down. He foams at the mouth, acting as though he was mad or rabid. He gnashes with his teeth. That is excessive pain. Look at the word pineth in verse number 18, 20 through there. Verse number 18. He pineth. That means he's sorely tortured. His flesh is like withered away. It's like as though that he has been extremely sunburned and his flesh is just withered up, dried up like the grass. Notice also the word gnasheth is the word grindeth. He grinds, a shrill or a cry. In verse 21, this boy has been this way ever since infancy. It's not, listen to me, it's not something the child has done. He has been this way since he has been an infant. You see, the dad is actually dealing with two problems here. With all the description here, this boy here has epilepsy, but he also has a demon. But notice something about this child. If you could imagine, here this boy is, and he is having to be cared for 24/7. You can't leave him alone. Because if you leave him alone, all of a sudden he may end up thrown into the fire. He may be burning himself. He may go by and see a pool of water and decide to fall into it. And this demon spirit has overcome this boy to the point that he wants to destroy this young man. Now, you may sit here this morning and say, well, you know, that is just folklore and fairy tales, and that's just kind of like one of these horror movies on television. No, sir. This is a real account. And may I go on record and say this, that in the next point we're going to get to, that demon forces are real. They're not just hocus pocus. It's not just fairy tale. It's not just ghosts and goblins. But there is a real God and there is a real devil. You believe that? Say amen. And there are forces of good and there are forces of evil. Why is it today you turn on the TV and all of a sudden there's another school shooting somewhere? I saw on the news the other day some middle school student. And they said he's been a normal student. He's not caused any trouble. We've known him for years. He dons a clown mask and grabs a butcher knife and running up down through the school. You say, oh, that had to be something. Yeah, it was something. I believe today, my friend, we are dealing with forces in this world, in this age. The devil knows his time is short, and I believe he's pulling out the stops. He is working overtime. That is why you and I, as God's people, if we know the truth and we're saved by God's grace, we had better be armed up, prepared, ready for a fight. Because let me tell you something. Although that this was a man in Mark chapter 9, and although this was a young child in Mark chapter 9, I believe this, Sister Gail, I believe he is after every young person today. I believe he is after every young man, young lady, to destroy them today. And we as Christians, we had best be putting on the armor of God. We had best be getting ready for a fight. And here's the key before I go any further. It's not going to be the faith of our children that's at stake. It's going to be our faith that's at stake. Who will stand in the gap? Who will fight for them? Who will pray for them? Who will beseech the throne of grace for them? Who will say, by faith, I believe that they will be healed. I believe they will be delivered. I believe they will be restored. Amen. I refuse to believe that they'll spend the rest of their life in a penitentiary. I refuse to believe they'll spend the rest of their life bound in drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever. I refuse to believe that. If I'm a child of the King and Jesus has all power, listen, it's not according to Him. It's according to my faith. If I exercise that and believe it, and if God being my helper, if I pray accordingly, God said He would do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. But we need some moms and dads today that will stand in the gap for your sons and your daughters. I'm getting ahead. But notice the fourth thing here. Notice these demonic forces at work. Luke chapter 9, don't need to turn there, but listen to it. Luke chapter 9, verse 42 says, as Jesus was coming towards this young man, that demonic spirit threw the boy on the ground and he began to tear him. Now notice something that happens here in Mark's gospel. And Mark chapter number 9, and notice what Jesus does. And when Jesus approaches this young boy, look in verse 25 quickly now. We'll be going just a minute, so just hang on with me. This is important. When Jesus approaches this young boy, and what does he do in verse 25? Jesus says, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Jesus rebuked that evil spirit. He did so by speaking to that evil spirit. Now, someone, don't get me here. You know, I'm afraid of these ghosts and goblins. You need not be so, because thank God we have the authority over them today. At the name of Jesus, every demon, every devil, everything that is against God must bow. But notice something here about these evil spirits. There are in our world today evil demonic spirits that are at work. There are those today that don't believe in the existence of the devil, much less the demons. But here's what the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I'm under the firm belief today, Brother Steve, there was a time when you and I were growing up, I'm sure, that we turned the television on Saturday mornings and sat down to watch cartoons. I enjoyed Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner. I enjoyed Wile E. Coyote. Every time that anvil fall and hit him on the head, amen. I enjoyed Elmer Fudd, Porky Pig, Mickey Mouse. But today when you turn that on, by the way, I heard the other week that CBS Now is no longer airing cartoons on Saturday morning because they said they can't compete with the Cartoon Network, I think they said. But no longer do we have those innocent, funny cartoons. Now there are forces and spells being cast and witches that are being conjured up. And we wonder sometimes, where do our kids get what they get? And sometimes we can trace it back to what they're viewing on television, what they're reading in school, or what video games they're playing. But my friend, mark it down that the devil is real and the demons of hell are real and they are after your children. There was a time when you could use the television, park your kid in front of it, and spend an hour or so washing dishes or whatever else. But you best not do that today, because whatever is coming over that airway is being invaded in their minds, and all of a sudden they're acting it out. By the way, there are forces today in this world that people don't realize. Let me tell you in passing, never have your palm read. Never sit down at someone with a seance. Never go into a psychic or a medium. Never sit and have the tarot cards played out before you. Never experiment with a Ouija board. You say, preacher, all that's just innocent fun and games. I could tell you story after story of people that got involved. They cracked the door open and all of a sudden demonic forces took over. And now, my friend, their lives are different. There are forces that are real. Jesus dealt with these evil spirits in his day. Paul dealt with those evil spirits in his day. And the way they dealt with them was that they spoke to that evil spirit. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Speak to him. Tell him today. I would encourage some of you mothers today that when your child is sick and when your child is looks like it's on drugs and everything, would you just say, devil, leave my children alone. You have no authority here. Get back to where you belong. In every situation, Jesus spoke to that evil spirit. Now here's the clincher. Notice in verse number 29, and we're going to come back here in just a minute, but here's what I want you to see. The disciples came to him, they said, Lord, why couldn't we do this? And Jesus said, this kind, this difficult case, this extreme circumstance cometh not but by prayer and fasting. Now answer me a question, what we have just said. In verse number 23, did Jesus pray about casting that demon out? And the answer is no. So you say, then why, preacher, does he say to us here that without prayer and fasting? I'll answer that in just 1 minute. Notice number 5. I see in verse 23 a dad's faith. Look in verse 23. And here's what he comes. He comes, and this is how he's phrasing it. He says, Jesus, if you can do anything, would you please help us, if you can. Now here it is. This dad is coming to Jesus and he is saying to Jesus, if you can do anything. And Jesus turns right around and asks the dad the same question, but differently. He says, if you believe, all things are possible. You see, when that dad came, that man put the if on the power of Christ. Christ put the if on the man's faith. If you don't get nothing else out of that message today, would you get that? Is that the man put the if on the power of Christ. If you have the power, if you can do anything. And Jesus turned around and Jesus put the if on the man's faith. For he said, if you have the faith to believe, all things are possible. And now at that split second, the dad realizes it's not his son's faith. It's not the disciples' faith, but it is his faith that's going to make a difference in the life of his demon-possessed son. It is the dad's faith that is called into action. And moms and daddies, it is our faith that's called into action. If we don't believe it, if we don't speak it, if we don't stand on it, my friend, it's not going to work. But when you and I accept it to be the living Word of God and He has all power, then by faith we believe it shall be done. He has the power. I have the faith to believe it. And he said, without faith, it is impossible. Moms and dad, it's your faith that makes a difference in your children's lives. It's not asking the church. It's not asking the preacher to have faith. But my friend, it's you. You have to have the faith. Your faith makes a difference. And Jesus says to this man here, do you believe or do you not believe? And the man says, I believe, but help my unbelief. He says, the problem looks so big. The mountain looks so tall. Oh, I believe, but Lord, would you help my unbelief? He said, God, give me power to believe. I believe. Give me power to believe. And then that brings me to the last thing, verse 29. That's the difficult cases of life. Look in verse 29. This kind. This kind indicates there are different problems. Extreme situations. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17, here's what the disciples were worried when they could not cast out this demon. They were worried. They came to Jesus in the house and they said, Jesus, explain this to us. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. In Luke's gospel, chapter 10, these disciples come back and they're shouting, they're praising the Lord. Oh, we were able to cast the devils out. And Jesus went on and said, don't rejoice that the devils are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But here in Mark's gospel, they were worried they had lost that power. They were worried they had lost that ability to cast out the demon. Now here's the clincher and here's the key. And Jesus said in verse number 29, this kind, this extreme situation cannot be solved, cannot be handled unless through prayer and through fasting. But now Jesus didn't use either one of those. So what is he meaning? What is he saying to us? This is what he's saying, my friend. The key to the whole thing is this. Our relationship with God has got to be so close that it becomes so powerful that we believe by faith that it will be done. And when he says right there that this kind cometh not but by prayer, prayer is not just running into the presence of God with a grocery list. Prayer is not, my friend, just taking 5 minutes in your busy schedule and going down this prayer list and say, God bless this one, this one, this one, this one. And yes, by the way, Lord, I need a job and I need some more money. I need tires on my car. No, that's not prayer. Prayer is not a grocery list. Prayer is not a Santa Claus list. Prayer is more than just asking for things. I'm afraid today that we have adopted the idea that prayer is nothing more than going into the presence of God with a long list of stuff for Him to do. And then we go through that and we'll say, okay, I'll talk to you tomorrow morning, Lord. Or maybe tonight I might just spend another 5 minutes with you. But He is speaking here of cultivating a relationship with God through prayer. How often do we just linger in the presence of God? Let's phrase it this way. Let's say that there is a young couple who is deeply in love. I mean, you know, they're just dripping. They're just, it's like every time you turn around, they're like right here. You know, it's just like, you know, everywhere they go, it's like two people glued to one. Amen? I mean, you walk in the house and they're together. They get in the car and they're together. And then after you get married a few years, it's like, hey, I'll see you, you know. Now, oftentimes, I don't know about you guys, but when my wife and I, we were dated for 3 years, oftentimes we would just love just to spend time with one another. I mean, just spend time with one another. I wonder how we do with the Lord. He wants to have a relationship with us. It's not just running in his presence and saying, oh, yeah, blah, 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 and then run out. But he says, tarry. You remember when Jesus in the garden and praying in the Garden of Gethsemane? And here's what Jesus prayed. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, somebody that's pretty quick, how long did it take me to say that? Maybe 10 seconds? Maybe? Okay, you with me so far? But the Bible says that he was an hour in the garden. He gets up and he comes out and he sees the disciples, wakes them up and goes back in. He prays the same thing, the Bible says. Father, not my will, but thine be done. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he's gone another hour. What's he doing? He's not just reciting it over and over and over and over again. The Bible says God does not like the vain repetitions of the heathen. When you pray, you don't have to just pray the same thing over and over and over and over. But when you go into his presence, you like to just sit down and you speak to him and you let him. And sometimes it may take a few minutes. Sometimes it may take a half an hour. But we're geared in such a society today, we got to get it done, get it over with. Let's get out of here, go eat, go home, and turn to, we got this, you know. And God says, be still and know that I am the Lord. And these two things, prayer and fasting, Jesus is saying to these disciples, the way in which you're going to have the power in these difficult circumstances of life is when you cultivate a relationship with me, that you come in the presence of Jesus and you're not in a hurry. You don't have to punch the time clock, that you're not so big a rush you have to get in a car and go somewhere, but you come in the presence of Jesus and you just talk to him and you sit there and you wait to hear from him and you cultivate a relationship. A relationship that he wants you to have. How much he loves us. How much he wants to spend time with us. How much does he want for us just to sit somewhere quietly with all the music off and all the television off and just sit quietly and say, Lord, I just want to be in your presence. And that's how you're going to deal with those difficult circumstances. That's how you're going to have the faith when you're child's life is on the line. That's how you're going to have the faith to deal with it, when you cultivate that relationship with God. For he says, with me, all things are possible. Moms and dads, we have got to cultivate that relationship. We've got to stand in the gap. Our children are dependent upon us. Our homes are dependent. Dads, I wonder how many men this morning would say, I'm going to be the man of God. I'll stand in the gap for my wife. For my kids. I want them to see my faith. I want them to see the evidence of a relationship with God. Not just rushing around, but I have a relationship. There are here those today that need a real relationship with Christ. Maybe you never have been saved. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you say, preacher, all this is kind of foreign to me, but there's something working on the inside of my heart. Right now I realize that I need Jesus Christ in my life more than anything else in this world, more than money, fame, fortune, job, or anything else. I need Jesus. And without him, I have no hope. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. I'll ask the musicians to come. Joanne, could you play, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter and I am the clay.